promotional consideration for Growing Greater Philadelphia provided by Citizens Bank.
This is the Growing Greater Philadelphia podcast, bringing you more of the interviews and stories from the Growing Greater Philadelphia radio program. Now, here's Matt Cabry.
Located about 20 miles northwest of Philadelphia is a small little borough in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania called Ambler. Ambler, Pennsylvania is the home of a new reimagined tech park called Ambler Yards. And it's also the home of a global tech company called Phenom People. And we're really thrilled to be welcoming in today the co-founder and chief people officer of Phenom People, Brad Goldor. Brad, it's great to have you.
Nice to be here.
So Brad, share with us a little bit more about Phenom People. How do you describe Phenom People to the average person that you encounter?
Absolutely. Phenom People is a recruiting software platform that optimizes the process of matching job seeker with company. And we do that through artificial intelligence and machine learning and really optimize the process and analytics for the job seeker experience on the front end. We take that data and make it meaningful on the back end for hiring managers and recruiters to be able to take that data, make data-driven decisions, and really shrink the time that it takes to hire good people.
And you've seen some great success over recent years. You're about 8 years into your adventure at Phenom People. Tell us, how big is the shop and where do you operate today?
Sure. Well, we operate out of Ambler Yards, as you had alluded to, and we have about 100 people here in the U.S. We have 300 globally spread over India, Canada, and Israel, and we operate as a global company out of Ambler Yards.
So take us back maybe, I don't know, 9-10 years ago when you and your team were sitting around the kitchen table thinking about what's next and how do we come up with a solution to a problem and what inspired you?
Great question. And so I had met one of my other co-founders, Hari, and his brother, Mahi, and I met Hari in an executive MBA program at Temple. And at the time, they were getting into mobile development. And so we started making apps for restaurants to be able to order your food. We started making apps for iPads so that salespeople could have collateral out in the field. And ultimately, we landed on, I was working at CareerBuilder at the time, the online job board.
Sure.
And they actually have an internal business plan competition that you can enter.
Oh, cool.
And, I was in the process of leaving the company, ironically, and my manager at the time, I told him that I had just met somebody, we're getting into mobile development, and he said, well, why don't we make mobile optimized career sites? And so, long story short, he entered the competition and won. And so in our first year in business, we made over 80 mobile optimized career sites, and we analyzed millions of job seekers' behavior. And that was how we initially got the start and an accelerated start because we got our minimum viable product out in the market early and quick. Job seekers were banging on the career site saying, this is great, but I don't have my resume.
Right.
So we implemented Dropbox to be able to download your resume onto your phone so you could actually go through the process that way. And then employers said, this is great, but I needed to integrate with what's called an applicant tracking system where they candidates go after they apply. So
okay.
We came up with an integration and we were able to evolve the platform from there, but that was how we got started.
So I want to go back to something you said that really caught my ear, and that is you were a career builder at the time. You were getting ready to transition away, but you became exposed to this internal competition. Did you stay a career builder? Was that kind of a hook to get you to stay?
So before I had gone to Career Builder, I had owned and scaled three different businesses. And I was always feeling that I was lacking some of that corporate experience. I went and got that for about almost 5 years at Career Builder and realized I really do love the startup. And so it was a matter of time. And that was the catalyst to get me to my next business. And so I got the corporate experience from Career Builder, but I was no longer with Career Builder to answer your question. We had gone on, the original name of the company was iMomentous before we changed it to Phenom People as we evolved the platform.
But that experience at Career Builder really accelerated your engagement with this entrepreneurial opportunity, sounds like.
Correct. And it was the catalyst really to starting Phenom People.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. But the other part of the catalyst was this guy you met at Temple. Tell me more about that, your co-founder.
Sure. Met Hari in the executive MBA program at Temple.
Yep.
We were both entrepreneurs, and he was a software developer and into software development. And this is 2010, so the iPhone's barely a year old or maybe a year old.
Mm-hmm.
And like any good entrepreneur, right, you try to look and see the next wave of what's coming. And I knew mobile was coming. You could see it. It was plain as day. Once Steve Jobs actually demoed the iPhone with music, your phone, and media all in one place, I knew that that was a game changer. And the way that, you know, this was the first phone that actually looked thin and sleek, had all that, all those features in it, and behaved that way. And I knew that, you know, people were going to have supercomputers in their pocket, and that's what's happening today.
If you hadn't met Hari in that Temple program, do you think Phenom People would be where it is today?
Absolutely not. That was definitely the first seed that was planted. Absolutely, our entrepreneurial curiosity and spirit and drive, it absolutely would not be here if that initial meeting didn't take place. And ironically, I had been wanting to get my MBA for about 10 years. And for whatever reason, that year, I finally took the plunge and did it, and big believer in fate.
Yep.
Had I not started the MBA program and met Hari, then that would, you know, we would not be where we are today. And again, that insatiable curiosity of really pushing and exploring. And, you know, we knew mobile was going to be the next big thing, but we didn't know how to capitalize on it necessarily. And we were trying different things when we first started, until we ultimately landed on the career sites and the opportunity with Career Builder.
I love that. I love the milestone moment you just spelled out, and the fate component of meeting Hari, choosing to go to Temple. If you had chosen to go to a different program at a different time, it really would have changed potentially the trajectory, not just of your life, but of the company that you're now a co-founder of and helping to lead. Take us back to 2010 when you were, you know, setting the kitchen table, if you will, because now you have your idea, and you and Hari and others are assembled around the table. Who was your first customer? How did you score that?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I'm going to answer that question in two parts.
Yeah.
Our first customer through Career Builder,
okay,
was Endopharmaceutical. So local company, Career Builder customer, and we sold the first mobile optimized career site to Endopharmaceutical. So that was our first customer through Career Builder. And then our first direct customer actually was Einstein Medical, who is still a customer today. And so we started with a mobile optimized career site with them, expanded the platform, added the analytics, and they've been with us for probably about 6 years now, is when we started selling direct. And so they were our first direct customer.
The Endopharmaceutical connection is really a compelling one, because like you today, Endo is an international company with local headquarters out in Chester County, Malvern, Pennsylvania, for those who may not be as familiar with Endo. They're actually an Irish-based company with corporate headquarters based in Malvern, and they do work around the world. They provide medicines and treatments that help people around the world, very similar to what you're doing, just in a different kind of industry space.
Absolutely.
Really good fit.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Folks, we're talking with Brad Goldor, who is co-founder and chief people officer at an organization called Phenom People. Their global headquarters is located in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, in a great new reimagined space called Ambler Yards. And Brad, I wanted to talk with you a little bit more about Ambler Yards, because you recently moved there from another part of Montgomery County after having founded the company here in Greater Philadelphia. What was the inspiration for relocating, and why Ambler Yards?
Sure. So growth was the reason. And so it's always a great reason to move, is, you know, we outgrew our current space. We had people taking calls in the IT closet and out in the hallway. And that's when you know you really need some more space. And so we literally looked at Conshohocken, Plymouth Meeting, downtown, and different areas where we needed, you know, access, where our customers were, where our employees were coming from. And we found Ambler Yards. We needed to be near a train station if we were not going to be in the city, because we do have about 20% of our employees coming from the city, and we wanted to have access back and forth to the city. And so a train station was important to us, and we came across Ambler Yards, and the story of Ambler Yards really inspired us and aligns with our values directly. And so the quick story on Ambler Yards, it used to be a chemical manufacturing plant, mm-hmm, founded by a gentleman named James Harvey Grable. And his company actually patented a process for paint not to rust. He became so wealthy, and his company did so well, and he was so generous that in 1929 at Christmas, he gave $1,500 to all of his employees, said, go pay off your mortgages, go pay off your medical bills. And for those who can't do the math, that's about $150,000 in today's money. So,
wow. Generous.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And it was so generous and was so noticed that Theodore Roosevelt, the president at the time, invited him to the White House to thank him for his generosity. And our CEO, Mahi, as soon as I told him that story, he didn't need to know anything else about the reconstruction, about there was a train station,
right,
and that story. He said, done, we're moving there. and we wound up going from 4,000 square feet to 12,000 square feet in modern tech space that we built out on our own. So we were able to decorate it and finish it the way that we wanted, and we are now one of the key tenants in Ambler Yards.
So you and your co-founders felt that connection to this space, which is really cool. And you also have room to grow because it's a 26-acre campus with 14 buildings, and you guys are taking up about 12,000, a little over 12,000 square feet, which frankly isn't a huge amount of space. But the good news is you have room to grow into additional space as your success continues.
Absolutely.
So, Brad, you are actually an entrepreneur before you are co-founder and chief people officer at Phenom. Share with us a little bit about how you got to where you are. You're native to Greater Philadelphia?
I am.
And where did you go from your humble beginnings in Greater Philadelphia?
Sure. I grew up in Plymouth Meeting. I started as an entrepreneur when I was 12 years old. I started a company called Black Tie Sealers, where we seal coated driveways and power washed and sealed decks. And we had those tuxedo t-shirts,
yep,
right, where you would go. And so I put flyers in mailboxes. And
so were you still in high school, or is this your...
Yes, okay. I was in high school and summers in college.
Okay, cool.
And so so my entrepreneurial career started early on.
Yeah.
And then I took that with me to college, actually. I sold wooden postcards to the Pitt bookstore when I was at college. I actually got college credits and a minor in entrepreneurship, which back in 1994 and 5 when I graduated, entrepreneurship programs were not really readily available. So I created my own doing this business anyway. I got a business teacher to sponsor me and wound up getting 3 credits a semester for 4 semesters and made some friends jealous in the process and wound up getting a self-created minor in entrepreneurship.
That's great. Very cool. Yeah. So you graduate from the University of Pittsburgh. And what was your first gig out of school?
Sure. So I worked for a company called Pennsylvania Promotions in Lansdowne, PA, and they sell promotional products. So mugs, hats, pens, t-shirts, all things like that. And I literally made a $250 a week draw against commission. And I called my parents and said, is this what life is? And health insurance and $250 a week draw. And I will never forget those humble beginnings of going around to business parks and literally physically knocking on doors saying, do you guys buy pens or magnets around here? It's really important to never forget those times. And anytime there's an opportunity for me to help somebody just starting out as an entrepreneur, their career, wherever it might be, I don't forget those beginnings. And I'm always willing to help out those because I had, like anybody who's had any success, there's always people that help you along the way, and I would love to pay that forward.
So those seeds that were planted in those early days right out of college, working on a draw versus commission, that taught you a lot. What are some of the lessons that you take away from those early years in your career?
Resiliency, really, and positive attitude. I was literally my second day on the job, put into a cubicle, and I'm gonna show my age here a little bit, but I was given a phone book, and they said, go at it. And I literally started, let's do the bees today.
Yeah.
And literally started dialing through the phone book. And so that's how I got the humble start there.
Yeah, and it gave you some of that courage, and it gave you some of that tenacity to keep going.
Absolutely. It was, they played a nice joke on me saying that I had a call from the zoo, Mr. Ellie Fant.
Right.
And so, keeping it light and laughing my way through because, $250 a week draw is not going to take you too far, even back then. And so, again, that resiliency and that tenacity to really push through and keep a good attitude. It's all that rejection and resilience made me, emerged.
And the real value that you got from that experience is the lessons, the connections, the relationships that you built that you, I suspect, are probably still tapping into today. So let's fast forward to where we are with Phenom People. You had mentioned about 100 people located here in Greater Philadelphia, most if not all out in Montgomery County, just outside of the city of Philadelphia. And you have about 300 around the world. What's next? You have India, you have Canada, you have Israel. Do you have a vision for where the team at Phenom People is going to advance to?
Absolutely. So we'll probably grow by about 50% in the U.S. as far as headcount is concerned, and a massive expansion into Europe. So we have 2 sales reps in the UK currently, looking to set up an office in Amsterdam in the near future and really doing a major push into, we've got about 6 customers in Europe. And so really doing a massive European expansion is the next major growth move for us.
Any hurdles along the way? Did you hit a hit a bump that really caused you to say, whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah. So early on when we were figuring out, I'll be honest, when I got involved with the mobile concept, I really thought that mobile was going to take over the world and that computers would be gone by now. And so, you know, since 8 years ago, I saw the traction that mobile was coming with.
Yep.
And so when we were trying to figure out how to grow, we were mobile career sites. And we knew that that was not going to be the end game. That wasn't, it was a feature as opposed to a platform or full product. And so as we're trying to figure out how the catalyst to growth, we were making a suite of mobile apps for HR, right? So an app so you can have corporate communications, do employee referrals, and we were making separate apps. We thought mobile, everything. And like a lot of good ideas, right, your customers will tell you what's right. And so we kept saying it's 30, 40, 50% of your traffic's coming from mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, that's great. And you've nailed the mobile experience, but guess where the other half of that traffic is still coming from?
Right.
The desktop. And so that, it was Informatica, a company out on the West Coast, that said, that's great. Can you make my desktop? And that, quite honestly, we went from charging, you know, 30 grand a site to six figures.
Right.
Because we now had an entire platform. We added analytics to it. We added a CRM module. And so that became the catalyst for our growth. But there was a period there where when we were figuring it out that we had to skip paychecks for a good 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that you do. Back to some of those early life lessons, at $250 a week, I was used to living on nothing, right? And so, you know, you do what you got to do. Like a cat, you land on your feet, you figure it out. That's the difference, in my opinion, between true entrepreneurs
mm-hmm.
and what I call wantrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And so, you know, figuring that out, you figure it out. And anybody who has had a success story will tell you there was times of uncertainty. They'll talk about, you know, going to petty cash and taking that last bit out just for lunch and again, those humble beginnings. But having the perseverance to plow through that and figure it out, that's what true good entrepreneurs do.
That perseverance, for sure. Something else that really stood out for me is the fact that, and we often take this for granted, frankly, but you listened. You listened to your clients. You thought you had a great service here, and you did, but you were really only hitting a portion of what was necessary. And when you got this feedback from your clients, you recognized it, you listened, and you put it into action. And that says a lot about not only you, but the team at Phenom People and your vision for wanting to take it to the next level. And in that spirit, I really was hoping you could talk a little bit more about why Greater Philadelphia for establishing and growing a global platform like Phenom People.
So there's several things that drew us or kept me in Philadelphia anyway. Number one is the access to a diversity of talent,
mm-hmm.
the accessibility, right? And so we're right in between New York and DC, so we have access to other major cities while we're still a major city ourselves here. And so I think people tend to forget we're the fifth largest, right, in the country.
Right.
And so, you know, having access to a market of this size, the cost of living that's here, the accessibility, and the access to some of that diverse talent that I was talking about are really all compelling reasons as to why we're able to do it here in Philadelphia.
That's great. And we at Select Greater Philadelphia, we often tout those exact kinds of attributes around access and proximity and quality of life and cost of doing business. And most importantly, which we often lead with, is talent. The talent that we have in the Greater Philadelphia region is really second to none.
Mm-hmm.
And companies like yours can really thrive. Share with us, if you can, it's 2018. Where will Phenom People be in a year, in 3 years, in 5 years from now?
So in a year, we should be growing by 50%, both headcount and revenue. In the next 3 years, we'll probably look to take the company public so that we can raise some more money and continue the global expansion efforts and really expand even further into Europe at that point and other global markets as they become accessible and available,
mm-hmm.
and really grow the company, scale the company globally from, you know, from that point.
And a little bit more insight, if we can, Brad, on you know, not just where your team is going next, but and we don't have to name names, by the way, but it's more of if companies don't choose the great service that's available through Phenom People, this platform of technology for recruitment purposes, where do they go? What do they use? Is it in-house? Are there other service providers who kind of compete in your space?
Great question. And so one of the challenges, quite honestly, that we have is we're doing something called creating a new category, just like Google created search,
mm-hmm.
right? We're creating a new category. We're calling it talent relationship marketing.
Okay.
Some people are calling them candidate experience platforms, recruitment marketing platforms. We are creating and ultimately dominating this new category, and we're calling it talent relationship marketing. And so we're asking, you know, recruiters and hiring managers to become marketers, because mm-hmm. that's really what they're doing in this day and age. And so to answer your question, they can go with, we have an entire platform that we compete with certain portions, like we have a CRM that you could use other CRMs, and you could piecemeal other solutions together, but nobody's bringing it under one roof the way that we do, with the artificial intelligence powering it. And really, that's what makes our solution unique. But they would have to cobble together other competitive solutions, try and do what we're doing, maybe even something in-house, as you alluded to. But those are the other options that they would have in trying to find a solution to this. And that's why the companies that we've been able to work with have a competitive advantage in reducing that time and cost of acquiring that talent.
The fact that you are creating essentially a new kind of category or sector of industry called talent relationship marketing is really inspiring, and I love the creativity around it. Is it catching on? Are people referring to it? Do you hear in-house HR teams and talent acquisition teams incorporating the nomenclature?
Absolutely. We just had L'Oreal was our first customer over in France, and our main contact there just posted on LinkedIn, joining the TRM movement. We call it TRM, right, for short. Mm-hmm. Joining the TRM movement, looking forward to, you know, innovating with Phenom People. And so we've had some of our customers even put the initials TRM after their name.
Oh,
so
neat.
It's really starting to arrive.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. Yeah,
when we see things like, and hopefully we'll see job descriptions for talent relationship marketers, and if we really keep creating and dominating the category we plan to do.
That's got to be a really satisfying feeling when you see it being used in such a consistent way.
Absolutely.
And ultimately, it'll become, you know, an industry standard, if it's not already.
We're working on it. If we have our way, absolutely.
Yeah. So I was reading about some of the goals and objectives of the team at Phenom People. And folks, by the way, we're talking with Brad Goldor, who is a co-founder and chief people officer at a company headquartered here in Greater Philadelphia called Phenom People. And you guys actually have a very, very ambitious mission. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that mission is?
I absolutely can. And I will tell you, this is why I wake up in the morning. This is what one of my most important interview questions in hiring people, because you need to have a purpose, right? The money, right? Well, listen, we all need money to live. I get it. But when you have a purpose is when you can really change the world.
Right.
Our mission, our purpose is to help 1 billion people find the right job.
Wow.
And so if we can do that, what a better place the world will be.
Yeah.
If we can match the right talent to the right jobs and people are engaged and empowered, what a better place the world will be. Companies will operate more efficiently and effectively. And again, we'll make the world a better place, one job at a time.
No doubt about it. Now, I suspect you have, you know, being a tech-oriented company, you have some metrics that are easy to, well, not easy, but certainly some metrics that you can use as a guide to measure your success.
Yep, absolutely. And so we have almost 150 million job seekers coming through our platform through company corporate career sites like Microsoft and Southwest and Waste Management, to name a few.
Yep.
So that traffic, we're looking at all that job seeker behavior that's coming through our platform.
Yep.
And we're able to affect 150 million job seekers today. And we hope to keep doubling that every year till we get to our billion.
That 150 million, is that an annual number, a monthly number?
That's an annual number.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Monthly that accumulates to.
Yeah. Yes. Gotcha. Yeah, mm-hmm. That makes sense. Okay, mm-hmm. Perfect. I appreciate that. And I really am inspired by, and I love the fact that your team is embracing this really ambitious goal of 1 billion people. I mean, some people would sit around the table and look at that and say, yikes. How did you guys come up with that? Did you have this moment of, you know, let's have an offsite retreat? Or did you just wake up one morning and say, this is the way we're going?
We have a very ambitious and visionary CEO, Mahi Bayoretti, mm-hmm. Hari's brother, and he has the ability to set out an audacious, ambitious goal like he did with the billion. We started as trying to help people find the right job, and he put the billion in front of it, which really escalated the vision to what it is today.
That's really great. I love that. And it's really inspiring. And it not only probably gets your team up and rooting for the organization, but it gets others who are around you to also be in your corner to say, we want to achieve this. We want to be part of this story.
Mm-hmm.
That's really great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very cool. So, Brad, what do you share with aspiring entrepreneurs when you meet a young person who's either in high school or college, or maybe they're, you know, they've been out in the workforce for a while, and to your point earlier, they've always had this dream, but they haven't, you know, put it into motion. How do you provide some guidance to them?
Yep. I say Nike, just do it.
Yep.
Get out there, right? You know, get in the car, start driving. Right?
Yeah.
You know,
easier said than done, however.
Absolutely easier said than done. But do it, you know, time is going to go by.
Yeah.
You're going to turn around and you're going to look at 10 years went by and 20 years went by. And, you know, you hear this all the time, people on their hospital beds, right? Regret. Right?
Yeah.
You don't want to have that regret. And so I tell people, try and fail, right? This whole new notion of this growth mindset, right? When you fail, you're really learning. And so, you know, fail your way to success, right? Michael Jordan missed all those shots until he made, and things like that. Is get out there and try, right? Don't just, you know, watch the clock and the years go by. Get out there and, you know, it's a contact sport. Get out there, talk to people, use your network, you know, talk to other entrepreneurs, engage with chambers of commerce and networking events and local accelerators, you know, or universities, and talk to as many, because people have they all had humble beginnings,
mm-hmm.
right? Or most have had humble beginnings.
Sure.
And most want to naturally help. And so really put your hand up and ask for that help. Get out there, put your idea. I always tell people, don't hide your idea. You think you have a great idea and somebody's going to steal it. Well, guess what? If they're good enough to steal it and take it from you, then you didn't have a good enough, or you didn't execute well enough on the idea anyway. And so get out there, share your idea with as many people, talk to as many people, meet with as many people, but just get out there and do
yeah,
it. Try. Just try.
And they'll be able to help you along the way as
absolutely
well.
Absolutely will. Yeah. That people will be amazed at how much I was, when I was young and aspiring entrepreneur, how many people they're willing to share their story because they're passionate about it.
Right.
They want to pay that forward. Somebody helped them. They want to do it again. And so I would just encourage people to get out there and do it. And it's never too late. You know, Colonel Sanders, KFC, started his business at 70 years old.
Right.
Right. After a divorce and depression and all these things. And 70 years old, went out and started KFC.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's never too late. And I just always encourage people, get out there, have no regrets, and just try.
And I really appreciate your Michael Jordan analogy. You can't make the basket if you never take the shot.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, folks, we've been talking with a very inspiring Brad Goldduer, who is co-founder and chief people officer of a company headquartered here in Greater Philadelphia called Phenom People. And I have to say, Brad, I really appreciate you coming in to share your story with us. I'm inspired by you. I'm inspired by Mahi and his brother, Hari. Mm-hmm. Who are your co-founders at Phenom People. And I'm really proud that you and your team have chosen to not only establish your operations in Greater Philadelphia, but to keep them here and grow them here. Because frankly, you could go anywhere in the world, and you are growing other places in the world, but you're staying true to your roots here in the Greater Philadelphia region. And we're thrilled that you're here, and we're thrilled to call you a neighbor and a business owner and an inspiring entrepreneur who is helping to grow our community. And I really love the billion people goal that you're working towards. It's really cool.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
How hard of a fight was it to be able to say to investors from the West Coast, look, we're willing to invest in you guys, but we really want you to open an office somewhere along the West Coast and be closer to us. Mm-hmm. And you guys went back and said, actually, we're much better off, and it's a better investment of your dollars if we stay where we are and grow our business here. How hard is that to say, and what kind of resistance did you actually get?
It was very hard. And we got a lot of resistance because, you know, people are comfortable with what they know.
Right.
There's not a huge stall of companies that have done and are doing what we do, quite honestly. And so, you know, but out there, you've got a laundry list, right, of successful startups. And so they, you know, their whole pitch was, you know, we've got a network out here, and we can help you get customers, and we can do this, we can do that. And, you know, after about 2 or 3 quarters, when we proved we were hitting our numbers and scaling and growing the way that we had advertised, you know, they started to see it and believe it more so. But it was a fight, to answer your question,
right,
to get to that point. To, you know, they said, "Well, prove it."
Yeah,
and we did, luckily, but we had to prove it.
And in that spirit, did it get easier over the 8 years or so? I mean,
absolutely.
Less resistance?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, but in the beginning, when you're an unproven,
yeah,
you know, entity,
yeah,
right, you know, it's a lot harder, obviously, to make that case. Now, sure, we've got millions in revenue and big customers,
okay,
and 100 employees, right?
Yeah.
So now it becomes 2020 hindsight is simple.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was scary, and it was a fight at the time.
How Absolutely. Much of it do you think was related to, you know, you can tell the story about Greater Philadelphia, but how much of it was Philadelphia's image and reputation over the past 8 years or so has increased significantly for the better, as opposed to the success that the Phenom People team has been able to deliver? Does that make sense? In other words, you know, you're a much more successful company today than you were in 2010 or 11 or 12 when you were seeking investors. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the trajectory of Philadelphia's image and reputation as a place to establish and grow a business has also increased.
Absolutely.
So do you think it was a combination?
I do. We actually, we were in the accelerator program Dream It for another company called SnipSnap. It was a coupon app that Hari and I and Mahi made with another gentleman. And so at the time, it was really interesting. You know, Dream It's whole purpose is to incubate businesses here in Philadelphia. They give them some seed funding. They put them through an accelerator program and ultimately graduate them and try and keep them here in Philadelphia. And, you know, initially they were having a hard time doing it, because the money was on the West Coast and in New York and other places. And now they've done a better job over the 8 years, to your point, of being able to retain more of those. And, you know, Wharton is a huge hotbed of talent and activity and entrepreneurship that people come from all over the world. So tapping into our universities, our infrastructure here, you know, quite honestly, the Eagles winning the Super Bowl does not hurt our image on a national and global basis, you know, being honest. And so, but also having, you know, Comcast being so prominent as one of the big companies around here and the companies they've acquired, and, you know, even QVC has acquired, you know, Zulily and Home Shopping Network. And so I think that sort of brings the spotlight on some of the major business happenings that are here in Philadelphia and helped our image and trajectory as well.
That's great. I did want to ask you, Brad, because it's one of my favorite questions. Share with us a little bit more insight into the name of the company. How hard was it to come up with that, and what's the story behind it?
Sure. So I told you earlier, we started the company, it was iMomentous, when we were mobile career sites only. And we got typecast as mobile career sites. And so we knew we had to change the name. We knew we were creating a new category. So we actually hired a company out on the West Coast called Play Bigger. Mm-hmm. And their whole purpose of their company is to help companies play bigger.
Yep.
And they help with category creation and domination. And they helped come up with the initial name. And I will be honest, I hated it at first. Mm. It felt like you want to say phenomenal people, because phenomenal, and you don't realize how much you use that word until your company is called Phenom People.
Right.
And so like any decision, I give it the 24-hour, right? Sleep on it rule. And I slept on it, and it totally grew on me overnight. And so by the time the next day, I was set on, you know, phenom. I always associate the word phenom with greatness.
Right.
Right? A phenom, a tennis player, you know, an athlete of some sort, they're a phenom.
Right.
And so Phenom People, what are we doing? We're helping bring exceptional talent. And so it just resonated and grew on me overnight.
And it really fit. Yeah.
Absolutely.
How much time
better what we do?
How much time went by between the time you kicked off the company and you embraced the new name Phenom People?
It was about 4 years that we were iMomentous for, till we changed the name. Right when we did something called a lightning strike, where we won HR Tech Product of the Year at our biggest trade show. Mm-hmm. We closed our Series A round, and we changed the name of the company to Phenom People. All three events happened at literally one, you know. So we announced we were on the cover of TechCrunch that day, announcing the Series A, you know, changing the name. We actually moved too, so we had a new address. So
wow.
It was, yes, getting the Series A done, getting the move, the name change at the trade show, just sort of a culmination of everything all at once. Honestly, one of my favorite days in the company's history timeline, where it just sort of all came together for me. And, you know, a lot of years of hard work and uncertainty really, you know, paying off for that milestone.
I can understand why. Very cool.
Yeah, what
a great day.
Definitely.
Brad Goldthorpe, thanks for joining us here on Growing Greater Philadelphia.
Thank you.
This segment of Growing Greater Philadelphia is brought to us by the Commercial Banking Division of Citizens Bank. You know, the Citizens Bank team, they bring practical financial experience and deep industry expertise to each banking relationship. To learn how Citizens can help your company reach its full potential, visit citizensbank.com/commercial. And be sure to check out all of our podcasts at radio.com and tune in Friday mornings, 5 a.m. to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Thanks so much for listening to Growing Greater Philadelphia.